Good morning and welcome to Mechanic Grove Mennonite Church. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the word that you have given us. We are thankful for your long-suffering in having delivered to us a Savior. Lord, make us like the Bereans to search the word daily. In your name we pray. Amen. I've titled this opening, The Promise Was Given, the Law Delivered, and The Promise Kept. So I want to go back a little bit in background, way back to Abraham, when God promised Abraham a lot of things, including descendants that were very numerous, and he didn't even have one. So like, okay, and land, etc. And what God promised him was a covenant. Now you have to remember, a covenant is not a contract. A covenant is God made the deal, you take it or leave it. That's just the way it is. But it's reported that Abraham believed God by faith. And you think about it, he was promised descendants that were very numerous. He didn't even have one. He was promised or told of the descendant singular, which was the Christ. Isn't that a good example of faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen? So as time progresses, we get to 430 years later when Moses delivered the law. Now, if you look in your Galatians portion today, I found it interesting, and this somehow or other avoided my mind for a while, or for many years. It says that angels and an intermediary delivered this to Moses. So all of those things about cleanliness, certain punishments for crime, and so forth, they were delivered to Moses by angels and intermediary, and some believe the intermediary was Christ. Well, as Nevin thinks sometimes, if you call it thinking, I thought, isn't that interesting? So God told these angels what to tell Moses. I wonder how much got mixed up between God and Moses. And then I said, you know what? Angels are not like human beings. You can have husband and wife, and one tells the other something to relate to the children, and later on, the first finds out what was delivered to the children, and their comment is, where did that come from? And imagine the fun that you've had already playing whisper down the alley, and there's only a dozen people. Well, if you have 30 angels, I got news for you. What the 30th one delivers is exactly, precisely, what the first one was told. And so when angels delivered to Moses the things that God wanted, it came through. Later on, we have Jesus coming, and this whole process can best be summed up in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and this is part of what our lesson is about, a good part. For grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast, or we might say brag, or say, look at me. The next two lessons will deal with the result of being saved and the fruit that it produces. So I leave you with this challenge to be like the Jewish Bereans. In Acts 17:11, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. And I ask, do I look at the word with eagerness? They examined the scriptures daily, not just Sunday morning from 9 to noon, to see if the things that they heard were so. Think about it.
Good morning. The scripture reading for this morning is Luke 4, verses 16 through 30. So the events preceding this, it is only Luke 4, so there's not too many. Jesus has spent some time in the desert, and in verses 14 and 15, the subtitle in this text is that Jesus, he begins his Galilean ministry, and it doesn't take long to find trouble. Verse 16, so he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of a hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then, passing through the midst of them, he went his way.
Good morning, everyone. I got a question to ask you. Who said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Anyone? No one knows? Well, when who? No, not Jezebel. Remember when Elijah seemed to be the only one that knew it? That this particular day he was going home? Up? Who went along with him across the Jordan? Elisha. So Elisha saw this marvelous experience of Elijah going up to glory in a chariot of fire. Amazing. Imagine how that struck him, his mentor. So when all was calm, he picked up Elijah's mantle, walked to the Jordan, struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the waters parted, and he went across just as Elijah and he had a little earlier. And this is my message this morning. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I'll tell you what brought this to mind. Last week one day I was driving, was listening to the Haven broadcast, and on Haven broadcast that morning, Franklin Graham was on, and he was talking about the situation in the Ukraine, also all the refugees coming into Poland. And Franklin and Samaritan's Purse, his organization, quite a few of them are over there helping out in the situation. He said, "One day I was just so overwhelmed with the situation that I cried out, Lord, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We need you in this situation right now." So I decided that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. And would you believe it? I stayed home this morning to see what David Jeremiah was preaching on, and he was preaching on the same thing, exactly the same thing that I'm preaching on this morning. Coincidence, that is. Turn your Bibles to chapter 17 of 1 Kings. Chapter 17, 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel is before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." And that's quite the proclamation to make, isn't it? Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, Please bring a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, I want you to get this next verse. It seems very selfish on Elijah's part, but he needed to say it to see where her faith was. Now here's a woman he had never met before. And he says to her in verse 13, Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, What have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, Give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying. And he laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, See, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. One of the, if not the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. It is interesting that when Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration as he was involved into this cloud, there appeared two men to him. Who were they? Anyone? Oh, come on. Elijah and Moses, yeah. Moses, the great deliverer of the Old Testament, and Elijah, the great prophet of God. And they were there in the midst of Jesus when he was transfigured, and they saw his glory. They saw Christ in all his glory. So I want to look a little bit this morning at this man, Elijah. Now, the situation here is that Israel was in deep distress because of the wicked King Ahab. Most of all, he was prompted to his evilness by his wife, who came from the very area where this widow that Elijah ministered to up in Sidon. To bring it more closer to home today, it would be southern Lebanon. And that's where Jezebel grew up. And the Bible said she did more to provoke the Lord to Israel than anyone. Well, through Ahab. She was actually one who did the reigning. Ahab was just her puppet. But God was in charge, and he said, because of your evilness, there will be no dew or rain for 3 years. Could we imagine that? Every morning, just as dry as punk. No dew, no rain for 3 years. And so, of course, everything dried up. But Elijah, God took care of him. He was down by this brook Cherith and was brought food morning and evening by the ravens. Now, that's a story in itself. What prompted these ravens to bring food to Elijah every morning? It had to be a God thing. But eventually, because of the drought, the brook dried up. And so then God told Elijah to head off up toward the northwest, toward the Mediterranean, upper Israel, and into the land where this lady lived. And so as he approached her, if he didn't have a chance to drink anything that whole time, which would have been a journey from down near the Jordan, the opposite end of the country, and all the way up through, you got to remember there's been a drought for 3 years. There probably wasn't much water around. So the first thing that Elijah answered is what? Please give me a drink. And so she went to get the drink, and he said, he called after her and said, also bring me a morsel of bread. And she says, I do not have a morsel of bread for you. All I have is just enough of flour and enough of oil to make a cake for my son and I, and then we must die because our provisions have run out. They're over, and our life will be over. And what do you think about Elijah's request? He says, well, you take that oil and that flour, and you make me a cake. And if you do that, you will have provisions from then on. Sounds pretty selfish, don't it? But she needed to work by faith. And so she did. And the flour was there every day, and the jar of oil was there every day until the Lord sent rain. Amazing. But then to top it all off, her despair, her son dies. He got sick and he died. And then she blames Elijah for it because he's a man of God. And she says, have you come to bring my sin to my remembrance and to kill my son? So we know the story very well, how Elijah took the child up, stretched him out on the bed, laid on him, and stretched himself three times, and then prayed, and the child's soul was brought back to him. You know, there's nothing, I think, more heartrending than the death of a child. When I lost my brother at age 5, and I was 9, I remember telling my dad, I said, in the Bible it says that Jesus brought back people from the dead, or God brought back people from the dead. That's a possibility, and if we prayed hard enough that he would bring my brother back. No, I was just a small boy, but it didn't happen. But I did have a lot to be thankful for because I had 5 boy cousins just the next farm, and they were, and it always made me feel good whenever we were together. And someone would say, you guys all brothers? And I would say, no, these 5 guys are my cousins, but we're like brothers. And they would all nod their heads and say, yeah, we're like brothers. And that was a great thing that I had 5 brothers and a sister. Actually, they had a sister. And we worked together on the farm back and forth, and it was a great blessing for me having lost my only brother. But it is very, very sad when a child is taken away. And we have several instances in the Bible when children who had died were brought back to life. And so this is one of those times. What do we gain from this message this morning on the power of God? I was just thinking all week about the things that are going on in our world. Why can't God change some of the directions of this world? Or does he let things go the way they are going? And there's so much we could say should be changed in our world. And yet as time goes on, it seems that according to the scripture, our world will get worse and worse. And so the challenge for us, I think, this morning is to remember that the God we have is the same God that was Elijah's God. And Elijah worked great things out with the power of God behind him. And also the one that followed him, Elisha, also did some marvelous things. So God is alive. He's right there when we need him. And I pray that we can just grab a hold of the fact that the God of Elijah is also our God. A story that David Jeremiah said this morning about, they had a family that came into their congregation from Romania. And the reason they came over from Romania was that they had a five-year-old girl who had heart issues. She had had four operations, and she was scheduled for the fifth. And he said this was going to be the most serious of all, whether she would recover or whether she wouldn't. So a lot of prayers went up for this little girl, and he said, as it turned out, I needed to be away and could not be there at the time of the operation. When I got back, he said, I was surprised to hear that the operation was very successful and that the doctor said, as far as he could tell, her heart was completely healed. And so they went home to Romania, and I didn't even get a chance to say goodbye to her, he said. But I praise God. And so God is still in the business of healing. He's still in the business of running this world, even though sometimes we may think he has disappeared. May we be, as the woman said to Elijah, after the miraculous bringing back to life of her son, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. It is the truth. So as we go through our lives, our days, things happen sometimes that we wonder why. For instance, the other day, I think it was Friday, I had this terrible stomach ache all day. And many times I was bent over with pain, and I said, Lord, what's going on? I don't have pain like that. And my evening then it disappeared. And yesterday I was fine. So I don't know what it was. Anyhow, sometimes it's good to have days like that so that we are brought back to reality that we're still human. And things come and go. Now let's keep in mind that the God of Elijah is our God as well. It was following this experience then that Elijah told Ahab he is supposed to gather all the prophets of Baal together and bring them up to Mount Carmel. And we all know that story very well. But the thing that has always been hard for me to understand is after that tremendous victory for the Lord God of Israel on top of Mount Carmel, when God sent fire down from heaven, sent it down from out of nowhere, consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water in the trench around, and then God sent rain. But Ahab goes home and tells Jezebel what happened that day, and that Elijah had all the prophets of Baal killed. And she sent a messenger to let Elijah know that by tomorrow at this time, you're going to be in the same position my prophets are. And Elijah took off and ran for his life. Even a greater man as Elijah was, one place in Scripture tells us that Elijah was just like us, with the same passions, the same feelings of despair, the same feelings of joy. So it's nice to know that even the greatest of the prophets had some of the same joys and some of the same sorrows and trials that we have. Let's just remember that God's in control. And let us just remember when we fear that we are at our wit's end, let's just cry out and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And see if he doesn't appear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for these stories in your word of people that we think of being the greatest ambassadors for you, like Elijah and his counterpart, Elisha. Even in times of deep despair in Israel, you were working, and you had those who were faithful. Even Elijah told you one time, I am the only one left, and you had to let him know that no, there was quite a number of people who were still faithful to you. So, Father, we pray that you would give us strength and courage in our times of discouragement, and just help us to put our hand in yours, realizing that you're really the one who is in control of every situation that we go through. I pray your blessing upon each one in this congregation. Pray a special blessing upon Kevin and Renee this week. I pray that Renee will feel good by Saturday. And just pray your blessing on them. And bless us all as we go out this week to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessing from Moses to the children of Israel. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go and God be with you.